Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel, Foothill Ranch, with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
Well, it's great to be here. I now live in Redding, California. The last year, we basically found out that we needed to come home because Lorena's mom was in an independent living center, but she was getting to the point where she could not live there any longer on her own, and she needed more help. So we moved back to Redding, and we're in Redding, California, because that's where our daughter and grandkids are, and that's where our son is, who's about to have a baby in June. And so we moved there. We continue the ministry. We do all the seminars. We had gotten so spread out with the stuff we were doing in Mozambique that most of it was being done by the phone and the internet, preparing all of the seminars, sending them books, and preparing our leaders that we've already trained to do them. So we're actually probably going to do more seminars this year than we did when we were there in Mozambique. So it's still going on, and we're blessed by that. It's always been a joy to come here and speak. Like Steve said, this church has been supporting us and helping us, really kind of as our home church ever since we left for the mission field about 10 years ago. So we're really excited to be here this morning. When I talked to Steve about coming here, basically I asked if there's anything you wanted to speak on. I guess you guys are going through the Bible. And since you're going through the Bible, right now you are in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 through 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So I thought, great, I'll be glad to do a sermon on seven chapters. You know, I just need a couple hours. And so I have notes. I'm not going to get through them all on the first several chapters. But I got excited. I have the Bible on my phone. I don't know how many of you have audio Bibles, but I can listen to it anywhere, anytime. I have headphones that don't even need a cord anymore. I always have them with me. They go in my ears, and I'm always walking around not listening to anybody. But I can listen to the Lord, and so some of the things in technology. And it was so fun being able to listen just over and over to the first seven chapters of 2 Corinthians. I love Corinthians. It has a special significance to me because I remember when I was first saved. When I first got saved, I was at Calvary Chapel, Dana Point. I heard the message, and within 2 months of being saved, I was in Bible school. I'd already done all of the basic education, so I went straight to Vanguard University and took Bible classes. And one of the first classes I took was 1 and 2 Corinthians, and I hadn't even read the Bible yet when I went to Bible school. I was a new believer, and I was excited, and just sitting there hearing about the background and the information. So this book holds a special place in my heart. One thing about 2 Corinthians is Paul was going through kind of a tough time. As you've read this, if you've been reading through this, Paul went through some difficulties, and he describes this. We're going to start in chapter 1, verse 8, and listen to these words. This is Paul the Apostle speaking to the Corinthians. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." That's always good. I've never told anybody that. I don't want you to be ignorant, brother, but... Here I am. "Brethren, for our troubles which came to us in Asia, we were burdened beyond measure." That's pretty strong. "Above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God who raises the dead." So those are really strong words in chapter 1. You go to chapter 4, and you're going to hear some more words. It says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in your bodies. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh." Those are pretty strong words. Some bad things were happening to Paul and his group that were traveling. In fact, one of the best descriptions of going through trials that we have in the Bible is in chapter 11. We won't get to chapter 11 this morning, but it says this as Paul's describing his ministry. He says, From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. He was whipped in the back over and over again. Five times he received 39 lashes on his back. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was in the deep, in journeys often, in perilous waters, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own countrymen, in perils from Gentiles, in perils from the city, in perils from the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And I think that deep concern for all the churches isn't some minor little thing that he had, but major right in there with all those other conflicts and trials and difficulties. Now, I want you to know this was written, according to the charts, about 56 AD, 18 years into Paul's ministry. He still has another 12 years to go. Did you know that the three shipwrecks that are described here isn't the one that's described in Acts? That comes later. That's a fourth shipwreck. Can you imagine? Would you want to travel by ship if you've been in four shipwrecks? If you had three plane crashes, would you ever get on a plane again? After the second one, you're saying no. And he's on the fourth. Well, the fourth one wasn't his choice. He didn't really get a choice that. It really didn't sound like a very good way to travel. But I guess since all these robbers are on the road going when you walk, it's not as bad as you think. But he went through difficult times. And I don't think we can even underestimate that. I mean, the language here. Man, we are going through death. This was tough. So I want to talk about the encouragement words that are in 2 Corinthians that give us hope. Because we also read, as we go through this, as Paul's talking about all these difficulties he went through, and I know there's people here that have gone through difficulties, but some of the difficulties he went through, it says in verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Okay, there's that word comfort. Now listen, let's go on. "Who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are also comforted by God." Now, I don't know about you, but if I write anything, a newsletter or a book or anything, my wife edits it. I have to give it to her because it's not going to go out to anyone until she edits it, because she's very good at that. Now, if I gave her a sentence with 51 words in it, this sentence right here has 51 words, she'd be a little bummed. She'd be breaking it all apart. And if I used the same word five times in the same sentence, she wouldn't be happy. And most of your English teachers, right? They have 51 words in a sentence and five of the same word in the same sentence, and that word is comfort. So God is the God of all comfort, 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 comfort. Now, the word comfort, I looked it up in the Baker Dictionary of Biblical Theology. That's a big book. It's not a big book anymore. It's online. You know, you don't even look at a book anymore. I looked up the word, and it's got synonyms. Some of the synonyms are encouragement, to cheer up, to help. I like the word cheer up. I think that's a good way. I love that idea. God is the God of all cheering up. I mean, it's the same word. Okay, cheering up and comfort is the same idea here, is to cheer somebody up. So we could read, "Blessed is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all cheering up, who cheers us up in our tribulation, that we may be able to cheer up those who are in trouble with the cheering up with which we ourselves have been cheered up." That's pretty good. That's a lot of cheering up. And that's what God wants for us. He wants to encourage us. Now, God comforts us in two ways. He comforts us by His Spirit who lives in us, and He comforts us through the Word of God. Okay, this is how He works. He works by His Spirit, and He works through the Word of God. We always want to believe in those two things. We don't want to just have an academic relationship with God. We don't want to just have a mystical spiritual. We want to have it founded by His Word, but by His Spirit. And He does both of those things. I remember when I came back, when we were coming back to the States, my wife's always ready to do something. She's like very gung-ho type of person. And she got an invitation to go for a month to India to do women's conferences. And so great. I took the boys on the Appalachian Trail. I have a 16 and 17-year-old. I have five kids. The last two are 16 and 17. We're here now trying to transition them into college and life here in the United States, which is a little tough because they've never really gone to a grocery store. And they really don't know how things work. They don't drive yet because you don't drive there till you're at least 18. So we're making this transition with them. But I said, let's go on the Appalachian Trail. I have always wanted to walk the whole Appalachian Trail. I don't know if you have. You go from Springer, Georgia to Katahdin Mountain in Maine. It's 2,280 miles or 60 miles, something like that. And it takes about 5 months. I've always wanted to do that. That's just my personality. My wife's never wanted to do that, and I can't find anybody else that's ever wanted to do that. But I've wanted to do that. I found somebody in your first service that wanted to do that.
Right.
I did. I wanted to do that last year.
She'll go.
I have one friend that'll do it, but he says, I got to wait till I'm 65 and I retire. I don't know if I'll be able to walk the Appalachian Trail when I'm 65. I'm still doing okay. I'm 60. I just turned 60. I didn't like that birthday. 60 seemed like a lot. 50 was bad. 60. Now, some of you have got me way, way beat. One of you is 3 years from being 100, right? So that makes me feel. So we went for a walk on the Appalachian Trail for 30 days. And we started in Springer. We wanted to make it to Damascus. We didn't make it to Damascus, but we made it. And I remember when I would go walking with my boys, they always want to walk ahead of me. They always want to walk ahead in case they tripped or something happened to them because I would sing. And they got really embarrassed when I would sing. And I had, you know, I had my headphones because I not only have the Bible, I also have worship songs on there. And I'd start singing. I'm not that great a singer. I think I'm okay, but people tell me I'm not that good a singer. So I would start singing on the trail. And I tell you, God just came down in amazing ways, just walking on that trail and singing. It was harder when it was raining, but when it wasn't raining and it was sunny and I was walking there praising the Lord, and God does that by His Spirit. He knows how to comfort. He knows how to encourage. He knows how to come alongside of us in real, significant, powerful ways. The other way in which He does that is through His Word, through encouragement, through telling you how good things are for you. Did you know the Bible has a lot of good news for you guys? It's got a lot of good news for all of us. There's a lot of things that He says. Now, there's another word besides comfort. It's down in verse 5, still in the first chapter. It says, and it's the word consolation. Consolation and comfort are pretty much the same word, except for this. Consolation specifically means to comfort a person after a loss or disappointment. And you think about that. The word consolation in English means that, right? You're consoling someone who something bad happened to them. So it says here, and listen to how many times the word consolation is used, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds in us. Now, Paul talks about this like it was something real, like a thing, okay? Not just a concept. It says, for our sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is in effect for enduring the same suffering, which we also suffered. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. There is a consolation that is yours, okay, that God wants for you. Whenever you go through anything difficult, He wants to comfort you. We said it five times here. He wants to bring consolation, says it four times here. He wants to be there with you to encourage, to help, and to cheer up. This is who God is. He says He is the God of all cheering up or all comfort. Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You will be comforted over Jerusalem. When I think of the word comforting of a parent, like as a parent comforts a child, I think of especially cheering up maybe some kid on a soccer field who falls down and the goal goes right by him. And the parent wants to raise them up and comfort them and give them encouragement and get them back out there. And I think that's what God wants to do with us sometimes. And God has given us His Word. He's given us so many promises. God says, I'm going to be with you forever, and I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. And He says that to comfort you. to encourage you, to cheer you up. I'm going to be there. I love you. I love you this much. I mean, I've shown you, I've demonstrated it, you've seen it, and I have a wonderful plan for your life, a plan of prosperity, to give you an abundant life, to give you a future and a hope. And he tells you that just to comfort you. He says, don't fear anything. You first fear God. Fear is only supposed to go one direction, okay, towards God, nobody else. I know we call it unidirectional fear. But it says in the Bible, it says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. That's our God. When we are going through difficult times, God grabs our hand. He says, I'm right here. I'm with you. We're going through this together. What God said to King Jehoshaphat, I think he would say to us also. I think it was probably displayed pretty good in that song about the lion. Do not be afraid or discouraged of the vast army, he said to Jehoshaphat, for the battle is not yours but God's. See, you're going through a lot. I know that in this room, people are going through a lot. I mean, some of you are in, I'm in a pretty good mood. I'm living in America now. I'm pretty happy right now. This is pretty cool. I mean, I miss, you know, the ministry part, but it's kind of cool living. I live right in between a Walmart, in between a Home Depot and a Lowe's. Now, if you like construction and you live right in the middle of it and one's 3 minutes away, you're pretty happy. I can actually go to a store. I turn on the tap and hot water comes out. It's so cool. I mean, I haven't had hot water come out of that tap for 9 years. This is cool. So I'm pretty happy. So I'm in a kind of an up mood. But bad things do happen, have happened to me. They're happening to you. We went to like a little potluck thing last night, a little gathering. And man, some of the stories. Good friend of mine just had a quadruple bypass surgery. And he had a heart attack while triple bypass. And he was out surfing and had a heart attack. Another friend was telling me about, you know, the things that led up to his wife's suicide, and other people had melanoma, and man, it was just, life can be difficult. Life is full of hardships and death, and bad things happen, but God says, you know what, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to hold your right hand. I've got amazing promises for you. He goes, he says that everything you go through will work together for good. I'm going to do something good out of this. In fact, he says that he's going to give us beauty, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Now in this life, ashes, I don't want ashes. I don't even know what you do with ashes. He's going to give us a crown of beauty, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, Isaiah 61:1. God promises that if we'd pray, he'd give us peace. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind if we pray, Philippians 4:7. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God's going to be with us, and his rod and his staff are going to comfort us. You know, one of the neat things about this whole idea of suffering is it's all going to come to pass, okay? It's all going to end. One day it all ends, okay? All suffering is temporary with God. One day it's all going to be gone. And these are the things that we need to know so that we would be encouraged and strengthened when we go through difficult things, that we know that God is going to be there with us and help us, and encourage us, and strengthen us. Now, the other word I want to look at was in the next chapter, chapter 2. So if we go to chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians, it says, I'm going to find the verse here, right here. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians it says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, Notice there's still trouble, which was in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from the great from a great death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. So through all of these difficulties, he uses, again, the same word again three times. He uses the word to deliver, okay? God is not only the great comforter who wants to comfort us. God is our deliverer. The word deliver, I think we all understand the word deliver. How many have ever ordered something online and had it sent to your house? How many use Amazon? I'm just curious. Quite a few. I know you're not putting your hands up high, like you're a little afraid that. I love Amazon. I think my wife always says, we should invest in Amazon. That might be a little late, but at this point. But I love the idea. You just call them on the phone, and 2 days later, a package arrives, and it gets delivered, right? Well, that's the same word here, deliver, okay? So what do? You basically, you pay a price, and it goes from an Amazon warehouse, and it comes to your house. And when it comes to your house, you receive it, right? And it's kind of exciting to get a package on your door. There's something more exciting about that package on the door than me going down to Kmart or they close down. But if I go down to Walmart and buying something, it comes right there. It's kind of cool. Now, we think of the word deliver. I want you to get past the idea of just being rescued, okay? Deliver means to rescue. But it means more, okay? Now, see, let me try to follow this Amazon. It might not be a very good illustration, but, you know, it's the best I got. They deliver this thing to you, and it's not only goes from that dusty warehouse, it comes into my house. Now, let's pretend it's an iPhone 10, okay? I just ordered. Now, I don't know, how many of you would be, how many of you would be more excited about iPhone 10 than a Galaxy 9? I'm just curious. How many would be the Galaxy 9? See, you got the two groups. So you can think of the Galaxy 9, and I'll be thinking about the iPhone 10. So this thing comes to your house, and you open the box up, and you receive this thing, and you're excited about it. See, I think that's more the idea of deliverance. See, God did not just deliver us from sin, death, and hell, which is awesome. It's awesome he did that. I'm really glad I'm not going to hell. I'm really glad my sin is all gone, and I'm really glad that I'm never going to die, okay? Spiritually, I'm always going to be alive. I like that. But he didn't just do that. He transformed us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. He saved us to bring us into relationship. He saved us so we could be his cherished possession. He took us from there, and he brought us home. Okay, that's what this deliverance is. It isn't just he rescued us. Now, we could go, maybe the troops would go into France and they would bring independence and deliverance and rescue for the French from the German occupation, right? And then they go home. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is American soldiers going into a concentration camp of American soldiers and said, come on, we're taking you home. And see, that's the idea of deliverance. When God delivered the people of Israel from Egypt, what he said to them is said he was going to bear them up on eagle's wings and bring them to himself. It wasn't just, I'm going to get you out of bondage, I'm going to save you. It was, I'm going to save you to form you as a special people that's the apple of my eye. And that's what God has done when he delivers. He has delivered us. He's going to deliver us. He's delivering us right now. Because he is the great deliverer. And I'm sure this was a great encouragement for Paul the Apostle, who was going through all this difficulty, beyond measure, above strength, despairing of even life. But he says, but God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. He has, he is, and he will. And that's the God we have. Now, but even a little more than that, when God talks about taking us to himself, it's not in just a, yeah, you can hang out in heaven, okay? It's not that at all. When God describes our relationship with him, it's like a husband that goes and rescues the wife and brings her back home, okay? In relationship. It's like a parent who goes and rescues a child and brings them back home, or the terminology of friendship. Do you know we're friends with God? He's adopted us as his children. He is the groom and we are the bride. And so he uses this kind of language to deliver us from this place and bring us to this place. And I say all that because there's a comfort in knowing that, that he is the great comforter. He is the great deliverer. And then in chapter 3, he is the God of all glory who is going to take us from glory to glory. Did you know that glory and suffering, they're kind of linked together in several scriptures in the Bible? But here we are now we're going to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. And we have such trust in Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now here in chapter 3, he's going to talk about the old covenant and the new covenant that we have now. The old covenant, when Moses brought those tablets down from the hill, did you know his face was all shiny? What was that shining? It was the glory of God upon him. The glory of God is almost always displayed as something shiny or brilliant or hard to look upon. Okay? So the old covenant was glorious. Okay? But the new covenant is so much better. This is the one you guys are in. Okay? This is the one that is going to make you sufficient. But our sufficiency is from God. We could spend all day just meditating on the fact that our sufficiency is from God. And also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. I may not feel worthy of being a minister. And I may not be worthy of being a minister, but God has made me sufficient. Who's made me sufficient? God has made me. Am I sufficient in myself? No. Am I sufficient now? Yes, because God has made me sufficient. And this is really good news, that God has made me sufficient. And then verse 7, this we're still in chapter 3, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stone was glorious, the Old Testament, right, the law that came down, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, you know, it faded, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more glory. Our covenant is one in which you are given righteousness, okay? God's righteousness. For even that made glorious had no glory in respect, because the glory of that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. What do you think the key word there is? Glorious. Have you noticed in 2 Corinthians he repeats words? I mean, we're talking about 7-8 times he's using the same word in a little section. Glorious, glorious, glorious. It's no problem repeating the same word. He doesn't have to use synonyms. He's okay. He goes on. He goes, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled faces beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, you guys are in a covenant that is glorious. The Old Testament was glorious, but this one far exceeds that. This is a covenant of righteousness. This is the other one is in comparison, is a covenant of condemnation. This is a glorious covenant. It's got a glorious covenant. That's a relationship, a contract, an agreement with all you. God is glorious, and you're going to be glorious too. In fact, he says, and you are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, if indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. We share in his suffering, we're going to share in his glory, though. In Romans 8:18, it has the same idea. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Glory to glory. So, life is full of difficulties, and Paul the Apostle lays them out here, but he wants you to know God is the God of all comfort. God is the great deliverer who carries us on eagle wings and brings us to Himself. And God is the God who is glorious, has a glorious agreement, that's what a covenant is, agreement with you. You believe, and He's going to give you all these things. And He's not only is the covenant glorious, not only is He glorious, He's going to give you the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all pretty good news. And if we could think about that when we go through difficulty, I gave this same illustration years ago. I used the illustration of, where is it? Aha, here it is on the ground. It's a lottery ticket. It says right now, lottery ticket. I didn't really buy a lottery ticket. It says $74 million. I went by the gas station. I noticed the big jackpot for one of those things up on the wall. You know, they have those numbers. You could win $36 million, $10 million, or $74. I picked the $74. So let's pretend this is a lottery ticket. And it has the winning numbers. And the special one at the end, whatever that is. And I just found out that I have the ticket with all of the numbers. And I won $74 million. I'm going to get at least 10 after taxes. So I have $74 million, and it's a lot even after taxes, and I can pick it up on Thursday. Now, what am I going to do with this paper? I'm not going to show you guys. I'm going to take it from me. I'm going to protect this thing. I'm going to watch out for it. Now, let's say I go to work on Monday, and the boss yells at me. Am I going to be upset? He fires me. Am I going to be upset? No, I'm going to laugh at him. My car breaks down. I'm going to laugh. I'm getting a new one on Thursday. It might take me till Friday, but I'm going to get a new one. I don't know, how long does it take one of those big checks to clear? I don't know, but once it clears, I'm getting a new car. Forget this thing. I would not worry about it. From today till Thursday, I would be very happy about anything financial. But that's not going to help me if I'm sick, or if I have cancer, or if somebody's dying, but I got another one. It's a new supernatural, glorious, sinless body. I get it on Thursday. Hallelujah. Now, wouldn't that be cool if I got it? Now, I don't want to die on Thursday, but if I knew that this glorious body was coming, now you got to realize this body is going to be Superman style, okay? It can't be hurt, can't be destroyed, and it's shiny. Because it's glorious, right? And think of some of these superhero ones. I'm so sick of all these Marvel movies, but because I guess I'm getting too old for it. I don't know. But I guess people are enamored with one day being a superhero of some kind. You are going to be that man or that woman. I mean, they're going to be nothing compared to you. I mean, I don't know if you can fly. My wife thinks we're going to be able to fly. In fact, yesterday she just told me, she said, I really look forward to flying. I don't know if we fly, but we could fall off the Empire State Building and not get hurt. So we could fall like, what's that Toy Story? Falling with... with style, we can do that. And when we hit, who cares? It's not going to hurt. No pain. But you know what's cool? I've been thinking about this more. Not only is this new body that we're getting on Thursday going to be glorious and can't be hurt, inside it doesn't feel any pain or sorrow or grief. Better than that, it's going to be pure and holy and good. Okay, all that crud that comes up nowadays in our lives that we keep having to try to get rid of in our lives, it's going to be gone. And this is all coming Thursday. Let's say it's all coming Thursday. I got the lottery ticket. I got the new body coming. I made another one, partakers of glory, because we're going to be transformed into the glory of His Son. We're getting all those things on Thursday. Now, if all those things were coming on Thursday, would you be pretty happy today? I'm going to be a bazillionaire. This will be great. I mean, and I'm going to have a body, and I'm going to be able to run again. When they replaced both my hips, right after they did, they said, now you won't be able to run anymore. I didn't know that before the surgeries. I was a surprise. I can't run anymore? I mean, I ran every day in my life up till then. Might not be able to tell now because I haven't run for 15 years. New body. If that could enter into our minds that was all ours on Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday would be pretty good. We might be going through hell, between Monday and Wednesday, but we're still going to be a big smile on our face. Yeah, it's only temporary. It's all coming to pass. It's all going to end. Now, it's not Thursday. I'm sorry, it's not Thursday, but it's coming. All suffering and pain in this life are temporary because you have a glorious new covenant that has been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ through the death of God on a cross. Through an infinite God giving you an infinitely glorious covenant that is now yours, and it's guaranteed. And in 2 Corinthians, we're not going to get that far, but it's guaranteed because he's already given you his Spirit that testifies, hey, this is all mine. This is all good. You know, when you sit by somebody's bedside in a hospital, you can tell them, you know what? Let me tell you, there's some good stuff coming. I mean, we've got this hope. It would be hard to live life without this hope. I was sharing in the first service, we had a gal that we worked with in central Mozambique. We ran a center in central Mozambique. And in that center, we had a gal that was working there, and she'd only been married for about 10 months, and she died of malaria. She got cerebral malaria and she died. And it was sad. And I did the funeral service that we had in Mozambique. And as we gathered everybody together, I told them, I said, you know, there is no malaria in Texas. She was from Texas. She used to have the funniest expressions, you know. And I can't repeat them all, but. And I said, you know, she knew that when she left America and came to Mozambique, she could get malaria and she could die. But she wanted to serve the Lord. And there was something glorious about being able to tell them, and she is as happy as can be today. She's in glory. I mean, she's going to be praising God and leaping and running and giving joy. What a horrible thing to do that same service. We had a beautiful building down in San Juan Capistrano that the Lord really worked a lot of miracles for us to get. And Steve was with us through all of those miracles that came about in us getting this amazing, beautiful building. And because it was beautiful, people would come there to want to do funerals. And they'd ask if I'd do them. And I did a lot of funerals for people that weren't believers. It's hard. There's just not hope. There's not the glory. There's not that sorrow, but not like the rest of mankind. There's something wonderful and glorious about the fact that that's me telling me I need to sum up. I'm not going over. See? That was me. And that's not my phone. I want you to know. I don't know how to shut it off because I'm not as technical as young people because I'm 60, right? In conclusion, that means I got four more minutes, so I'm okay, but I got a little time to conclude. I should have made that just like a buzz or something, right? And that wouldn't quite so distracting. But if we had these things coming on Thursday, and you could put it in your mind, but I want you to forget the Thursday. It's coming. Glory to glory to glory. A covenant of glory, far exceeding a covenant that was glorious in the Old Testament, but this is better. And God's got all of these wonderful, good things in store for you. Now, I'm not going to be able to cover the rest of the chapters of 2 Corinthians all the way to chapter 7, but just a few things. One is we know that God is the God of all comfort, and he comforts us by his Spirit, and he comforts us through his Word. We need to be in his Word, because if we're in his Word, our minds can then be shifted to have this heavenly perspective that this stuff's all passing away. And man, you know, we talk about, you know, people say, oh, just kind of live like a pie in the sky kind of a thing. It's more than a pie. I don't even like pie as much as I like chips and guacamole. I mean, and even if you said chips and guacamole in the sky, it's going to be better than that. I mean, we are looking forward to something in the sky. You realize that the Bible says that a new heaven's coming, a new earth is coming, and a new body. Did you know that? The Bible talks about a dwelling coming down from heaven. And that dwelling is not a house. That dwelling is our body. That's in 2 Corinthians. You can read about that. We're getting a new body. It says, if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, that's our body, we have a building from God. In this house, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new body. Glorious body. And that's here in this chapter. In chapter 4, we read that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us up also with Jesus and will present us with you. Now, from reading the scriptures, if you read about the resurrection, something in the resurrection does a lot of good things for us. It's all through the New Testament. There's a power that's in the resurrection that's ours, that has done something for us. And I think it is so beyond even description and glorious. I've never been able to capture it in an Easter message, but there's something glorious. And we're being raised with Jesus. And we're going to be like him because we are heirs with him. Co-heirs of God, not the things of God, of God, because that's a relationship. Wonderful things. Also in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, one more scripture, it says, we have the light of the knowledge of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. We are here in the United States. It's kind of odd to say, but we really want to be back overseas. I mean, it's fun being here, and we need this time to transition our high school boys into college and make that whole transition thing, because they haven't been in the United States for years. And they haven't have licenses yet, even though they're 16 and 17, or 17, almost 17 and 18 this summer, because you don't get a license overseas till you're 18. So they've got a lot of transition, so this is a good time for that. But we are actually here until Lorena's mom goes to heaven. I mean, that's basically how we've worked it out. So we don't even know how long we're going to be here. God knows, and he's got that in charge. So this is a great time for us just to know that's what God wants, and that's God's plan for our lives, and that's what we do. But it's interesting to see, and I'll close on this. Marge is, I didn't share this in the first service, but Marge is Lorena's mom. And she has been a missionary in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and China for over 40 years. Just served the Lord. And it's so neat to see because she's ready to go home. Okay? I mean, she sees life here, but you know what? Man, I'm ready to depart and be with Jesus, which is far better. Amen. And that's her attitude. And I know that, gosh, you know, here it is. Death is a horrible thing, but we're like, God, that would be great. Because, you know, she's been in a walker for like 7 years, and now she's in a wheelchair, has to get help out of bed. But she's going to be leaping and jumping and praising God in a very short time. Amen. Maybe not Thursday, but maybe, you know, maybe in the next year. We figure a year or two. But it's neat to see when people have that hope. It's different than people that are don't have that hope. And it's so glorious that this is the new covenant of glory that we have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we'll go from glory to glory to glory and never be the same. Thank you that it's coming, maybe not Thursday, but soon. In comparison with all of eternity, life here is a vapor. So, Lord, we just pray that you give us a heavenly perspective on life so that today, through even through difficulty, we might have joy. Even through hardship, we might have hope, a confident expectation of good things to come. So, Lord, fill us with hope, the hope that you displayed in your word, the hope that you want us all to carry in our hearts. And most of all, we just praise you, Jesus, because you made this all possible. You are the lion who fights every battle. You are the lamb who died for the sins of the world. And we worship you and thank you for what you have given us and made us and will make us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.